You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark, the third chapter. I want to minister this morning on miracles. Everybody say miracles.
Miracles.
And why we need miracles. Maybe a little, logical account of miracles and why we need them and why it makes sense to have miracles, and what separates Christianity as opposed to, say, Buddhism or the Muslim faith, or, there's a lot of different faiths out there, but Christianity stands alone in this respect, in the fact that we are a miracle religion. I mean, it doesn't matter what denomination you are. There's a lot of great churches meeting today, and we are inclusive of churches. We're a, to use a big word, ecumenicable. Say that 10 times real fast, and you'd almost be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That'd be almost like speaking in tongues. Anyway, what separates us, really, when you think about us from other religions, is, even in salvation, is a miracle. You know, that you can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can't do enough things to go to heaven. You can't pay enough money to go to heaven. You can't go to church enough to go to heaven. You have to be born again. You have to be saved. You have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's a miracle. That's a work of the Spirit. That's something that Jesus does when you call on him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. So all those scriptures and many, many more tell us that it's our faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was sent to die for our sins. Our trust and our faith in him caused a supernatural thing to happen, and we were saved. We became Christians. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So just the new birth in itself is a miracle, and so that separates us from, say, Buddhism or the Muslim faith. In fact, you can take miracles out of the Buddhism, and you really hadn't changed it. It's more of a philosophy than a religion. And the only miracle, I guess, in the Muslim faith is, I guess, creation. Other than that, Muhammad didn't do any miracles, and it's not required that, that you trust in miracles or believe in miracles. You just serve Allah. You submit to Allah, and that's their only hope of salvation. But in Christianity, you got to be saved. You got to be born again. You have to have someone who's died for your sins. You have to have your sins washed away. Supernaturally. And to admit God, everybody say admit God. Amen. To admit God is to admit supernatural, is to admit the miracles. You've already crossed that threshold. You're already in that room. You do believe in miracles to a degree, or the world wouldn't exist. The universe is a miracle in itself. It was created by God's hand. It was created by his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he made everything by his spoken word. In Genesis, we see in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So creation is a miracle. So we've already done that. We've already crossed that line where we believe in miracles. We have to, or we wouldn't believe in God. Amen? And to at least that degree. And then to believe in what Jesus did, born of a virgin, that's pretty miraculous. Are you with me? Live a sinless life, another miraculous thing. To die and beat death and come out of the grave. Hallelujah, somebody. That's a miracle. The resurrection is a miracle. Praise God. So we have a long line of miracles that just constitute Christianity, that make Christianity what it is, beside the things that Jesus did and the apostles in the book of Acts and the living day miracles that we experience even today, our salvation and healings and miracles that take place. So you really can't extract miracles from Christianity. You can't do that. Are you out there? I mean, they're part and parcel. They make up what we call Christianity. Christianity is a miraculous religion. Hallelujah. It's truth. I hate to even call it a religion because there's some truths in all religions, but Christianity is the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Amen. Excuse me for getting excited. Y'all can amen anytime. I need to coach y'all, evidently, when I pause, y'all go, yeah, amen, woo, hallelujah. It'll get everybody excited. Believe it or not all religious people believe in miracles. That's what's so sad. Even in Jesus' day, they did. I mean, the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They did not believe in spirits. you know, voices, miracles, and so on and so forth. The Pharisees, on the other hand, did, and there was a difference between those sects, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Brother Austin used to always say the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. So, you know, you keep that in mind. But we see that all through the Scripture, that people had a problem with the supernatural, you know, take us out of this realm of the natural to believe in the supernatural. But we are supernaturalists. If we are Christians, we do believe that there is a God, supernatural. We do believe the earth was created out of the supernatural. There's a Latin term called ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. See, we believe that out of nothing, God made everything. That's miraculous. Hallelujah. We do believe in the Bible, hallelujah, which is filled with miracles. We believe in this virgin birth, this sinless man, this miraculous miracle worker that actually beat death and rose again victorious and conquered hell, death, and the grave and sat down on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you and me and soon come back to receive us to himself. We believe in this conqueror, this warrior, not just a babe in a manger, but a conqueror, one who beat the devil at his own game and paid the price for our sin, hallelujah, and came out of that grave and that tomb is empty. Woo! We believe that. I believe that. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in miracles, hallelujah. I couldn't be saved without them. But then, of course, the next step is to go into everyday miracles. Does God still do that today? Well, I believe he does. I think miracles fit. If you look at the biblical miracles, they fit creation. They fit the world that God made. I believe there's rules. I believe there's laws that God instituted. Don't you? I believe you jump off a house, you hit ground, that's gravity. I understand that. And the better you understand it, the more you work with that, the better your life's going to be. You know, too many times we're working against principles instead of with principles, and that's where we get in trouble. You know, electrical laws, heat this room or cool this room and light this room and cook your food. But the same laws of electricity that cause that to happen will kill you if you cut into that wire and grab that wire. You violate the law. Are you with me? It's an understanding of spiritual law that helps us. If you love people and reach out to people and give and help and bless, that'll come back to you. That's called the law of sowing and reaping. That's a spiritual law. Are you out there? And so if you want kindness and friendliness and people to be friendly to you, be friendly to them. You know, mean thing, you know, wicked thing. You're wondering why everybody's so mean. Well, I can tell you why. It's called sowing and reaping. That's what it is. But so we understand that there are laws that God works with, but God can step in here any time and fix something, and that's what miracles do. We're not talking coach. You know, we're not talking about pumpkins into coaches and white mice into coachmen. Those are fairy tales. We're talking about crippled legs walking, blind eyes seeing. Are you out there? When miracles, biblical miracles, when you look at Jesus' ministry, he restored things. He fixed things. In other words, the miracle of sight was just something everybody misses because we do it every day, all day long. But when someone's blind, all of a sudden they get healed miraculously. We see, wow, that's a miracle. But see, we've had the miracle of sight every day. Are you out there? The miracle of reproduction, you know, where fish make more fish and, you know, you throw seeds in the ground and more bread comes out. That we see that every day in a long, stretched out period, you know. But Jesus all of a sudden multiplied fish in front of our eyes. But he didn't multiply fish out of rocks. He multiplied fish out of fish. And he multiplied bread out of bread. Isn't that right? So he stuck with the rules. He just stepped in and sped up the process, as it were. And when he healed and when he set people free and even when he stopped storms, he just restored normalcy or put things back in order. And every miracle he did had the scent or the aroma of the Creator or the mark of the Creator. Well, that's what legs are supposed to do, isn't it? They're supposed to walk. So when the cripple walked, after that, he was normal like everybody else. And when the blind eyes saw, they saw like everybody else's eyes. That's what eyes are supposed to do. And when the ears popped open, they heard like everybody else heard. And so the miracle of restoration, that's what the miracle did. The miracle of fixing things, the miracle of putting things back in order, and the miracle of multiplication, all these things fit. Jesus' miracles fit. Are you getting this? So well, that's what miracles do. We need them to fix things. We need them to correct things. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for surgery. We are for that. But we also know that, and every doctor will tell you themselves, they can't do everything. That's right. Amen. I mean, there's nobody that can cure everything. but God can. And when we've done all we can do, God can take up the slack. God can do what cannot be done any other way. And when he does and when he steps in, everything fits and everything just operates under the same rules. I mean, when God heals legs, they don't fly. They just walk like all other legs. Isn't that right? Okay. So miracles, when you think about it, the biblical miracles, we're not talking about fairy tales. Biblical miracles, they fit. They fit creation. They fit. They have the scent, the aroma. They look like the maker, the creator did that. That's what he's always doing. Hallelujah. Even water into wine. You know, all water really, when it gets under the ground, under grapevines, goes up into those vines and turns into wine. I mean, he just sped up the process. You know, when God does something, it fits. If you examine Adam the day that he was created, okay, he was fully grown. And every doctor and every person that would examine him would say he was, you know, 58 years old. Just gave away my age. You know, he was a perfect age. He was just perfect age. And they'd say he'd been around this long. But no, actually, God just made him, but he made him mature. He made him an adult so he would fit what adults look like when they were made. And that's a problem sometimes with us trying to figure out how old the earth is. We look at it and try to figure out how long it would take to get to this age. But God made it complete. And so when you try to age it, it looks like it took that long to make it that age. Are you with me? Because he made it complete. Just like when you tasted that wine, it tasted like wine that had been fermented and had been aged all that time. And that's what the feast, the guy over the feast. Okay. You know, if you have a limited vocabulary, you have to talk a lot more. You have to use more words. You can't just say one word. You have to explain what you're trying to say. So the guy over the feast, he thought it was been wine that had been fermented because God made it complete. And he knew that normally that's not the way it happened. Are you with me? But when God makes something, it fits.
That's it.
Are you out there?
Yeah.
Okay. So miracles fit. Miracles are not, they're not some kind of intrusion. They're not, we get all woo, you know, about miracles and think it's some kind of weird thing. It's not a weird thing. God just fixing things. God just heals someone. God just, you know, takes away a cancer or whatever. When we pray and we believe and we stand on God's word, God puts things back in order. He fixes things that have, the intrusion, the weird thing, is the sickness, if you all know the truth. The thing that has come in and has messed us up is the tragedy, the trial, the problem, or the challenge, whether it be physical, whether it be mental. You know, when we're feeling good, we say we're okay and everything is right. When we're not feeling good, we're not okay. Things aren't right. See, what's right is normal. What's right is, you catching this, what's right is healthy. The word whole. Even in the Bible, we use the word whole. It's used for a body that is healed and complete and whole. When we talk about someone that's spiritually whole, we say they're holy. Are you with me? Same connotation. The word has the same roots. And so if you want to be whole and holy, and God is the one that makes us holy and whole. He doesn't just make us holy spiritually. He also makes us whole physically. He's not just our Savior of our sins. He's also the healer of our diseases. I am the Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15:26. Not the Lord that maketh thee sick. But healing is not some weird thing. It's not some strange thing. And miracles aren't some strange thing. They're not some spooky way out there thing. It is, miracles just restore. Y'all getting this? Am I the only one enjoying this message? Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Am I going to have to amen myself? That's good. Don't hang up now. Woo. Mark 3, found it. Mark 3rd chapter. I'm just setting you up. And I'll let you out just a little early because we had that little promotion that we want to do. And thank you for coming. Thank you, everybody. Visitors, thank you all for coming. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I know we could have done a whole lot of other things, but we came to church today. Amen. And I'll tell you, you did the right thing. Hallelujah. It's right to go to church. It's right to serve God. It's right to dig in and find out what God has to say to us. My prayer always is that you walk out of church better than you walked in.
Amen.
More knowledgeable about you, about God, about you, and about the world that you live in.
Amen.
We need church. We need the presence of God. We need God's word. We need, this world is messed up, but we are a light shining in a dark world. And you're not going to get the truth off the TV. You'll get parts of it and pieces of it. You'll get it slanted and tainted. But if you want the whole truth, you've got to get in God's word. Amen. Get around God's people. Listen, everybody's not a crook. Everybody's not out to get you. Are you with me? Everybody, you know, you get to where you don't trust anybody, you don't believe in anybody, you don't have a hope and a future, but God gives us a hope, and he gives us a future. Praise God. Mark 3, verse 1. And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now, this is Jesus' habit. That back then, under the Jewish tradition, under Jewish law, which Jesus was under the Jewish tradition until he rose from the dead, they worshipped on Saturday and went to the synagogue. We go to churches, but it was based, our churches are similar to what synagogues were, with the elevated pulpit, the reading of the word, the worship, and all that. It's very similar to synagogues. But Jesus was a church goer. It was his custom to do so. That's what Luke 4th chapter says. As his custom was, he entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up for to read Luke 4, 17 and 18. And he read that classic verse out of Isaiah 61, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know the story. But here it says he entered into the synagogue and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now if you could imagine, we had one hand here, it worked perfectly. You had another hand that was withered. If you could just get the picture here. And it says here, and they watched him whether he would heal him. Now listen closely. Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. They did not care about this man. They did not care about his hand. They did not care about the pain. They didn't care about the inability or the disability that he had. All they cared about was their law, as it were. And sometimes we put law above people. You know, thank God for law. Laws are good. I like laws. Laws are wonderful. They keep us straight and they keep us, you know, on the straight and narrow, as it were. But see, the laws are about people. And the Spirit gives life. The law, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Jesus is always pushing a button on a law trying to help somebody. Because they missed the point. God was really about helping people. And so they didn't care that he healed so much. They just didn't want him healed on the Sabbath in the synagogue because they figured that was a work. They even had, they expounded the laws. I mean, they expanded the law, excuse me. They expanded the laws to where you couldn't even carry false teeth on the Sabbath day because they figured that was work. The Pharisees, they had all kinds of laws. They would take the laws that God made, you don't work on the Sabbath, and they would define what work was. Are you with me? And it was just the craziest thing. And they didn't care about people per se. And sometimes churches can be that way. We can be that way as Christians. Well, we're more concerned about, you know, the service than we are the people. We're more concerned about the chairs than we are the people. We're more concerned about the lights and about all those things than we are the people. Listen, God is in the people business. That's the business he's in. And if you want to know the truth, he's not about the building. He's about you. We just got the building so we can house you. That's what the building's for. We just have lights so we can, you know, so we can see. But it's about you. It's about me. See, I'm not just involved in what God's doing. I am what God's doing. You are what God's doing. We are what God is doing. Amen. And if you love God, you ought to love people. He didn't say the first commandment is to love God with all your heart. The second commandment is to love his buildings. He said love his people, didn't he? And so we ought to love God, we ought to love people. So here's Jesus, he's just trying to help this guy. And it's something Jesus did over and over. He was always healing people on a Sabbath in a synagogue. This didn't happen, this is not the only time this happened. They knew he'd do it. In fact, they watched him to see if he would do it so they could accuse him because he had a habit of doing this. Can you imagine having a habit of helping people on a Sabbath? Yeah. Lord have mercy, even helping people in church. God forbid, you don't need to come to church to get help. Wow. Hello, that was the attitude. I mean, that was the attitude that they had. You know, that you know, if you want to get help, you get help somewhere else, but not in a church. Don't you even look like you're enjoying yourself. We're in church, remember. Wipe that smile off your face, and don't even act like you're having fun. We're in church. Be quiet. Oh, well. So here he was. They watched him whether he healed on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, those that were trying to accuse him, you know, is it lawful to do good? I love this. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? To save life or to kill. I think if anything's lawful, helping people would be lawful. Yeah. If anything's lawful, life would be lawful. Because life is what God's all about. Amen? Forgiveness is what he's all about. See, we mix all that up too. We as Christians and as churches, we stand up against sin, rightly so, but we fall over into standing up against the sinner instead of the sin. You know, I'm against sin. I think you need to live holy. I believe God wants you to live holy. I believe there's just a trail of dead bodies when people sin, and it affects everybody, kids, grandkids, relatives, neighbors. You know, sin's just bad. It's bad for you. That's why I'm against it. That's why God's against it. But we're not against the sinner. Come on. In fact, you know, we talk about homosexuality. We talk about abortion. I believe that's wrong. I do. I believe it's very wrong. But we don't hate people that have had an abortion. We don't hate homosexuals. In fact, if they repent and get right with God, we'll take them in right in this church. Come on, bring the homosexual. Bring the adulterer. Bring the liar. Bring the gossiper. If you repent, get right, we'll take you. There's restoration. There's forgiveness. Hallelujah. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. Amen. But he is against sin. And the reason is because it's killing you. It's killing our society. It's killing our state. It's killing our nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. But God doesn't hate people. He so loved people. What did he do when he looked at all these sinners? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You ought to love people. You ought to pray for people. You shouldn't hate people, but you ought to hate sin. Are you with me? Just don't get to hating others. You know, sometimes we Christians, we get so irate and mad at the wrong. We ought to get mad at the devil. And we ought to reach out to lost people, you know, and tell them the gate's open. What are you doing in prison? I think every city and every culture, every state or whatever the case may be, I think the problem with the church is the city should know what we are for, not just what we're against. And we are against sin, but we're for the sinner. Are you out there? Woo! Getting quiet, this church. So watch that judgment, amen? We're here to help people. If Jesus got mad at anybody, it was religious people he got mad at. He hung out with the harlots and the sinners and the publicans, because and they turned. Now, he didn't enter their sin, don't get me wrong. He reached out to them, and they repented of their sin. Amen. And they accepted forgiveness, and they began to follow him. Yeah. We ought to reach out to people like that too, amen? Okay, so he says, is it lawful to do good on Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. What's church about? What is getting together and honoring God and serving God about? It's about helping people, about helping you. Amen. That's why we pray for the sick here, and that's why we count that an honor to do that. We don't take that lightly. Now, many times, you know, if you're out there and you're hearing these cards being read off, and sometimes you just kind of lose your attention and your focus, but if you'll stop and think, what if that was your mama? What if that was your daddy? What if that was your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your friend? What if that was you we were praying for? Put it on a personal level, amen? And then it'll get your attention, and we believe that. I believe that God is touching you and changing things in your life, and we take it very personally. I know it's important. Every prayer request is important because people are important. Well, we got to get on with the service. No, this is the service. Amen. Well, get over that. And let's get to the next part of the service. No, we are the service. Come on. We are what this is all about. God wants to make you the best you can be. God wants to restore you. God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. And if there's something wrong, he wants to fix it. That's what miracles do. They fix things. They restore things. We need the presence of God. We need a supernatural God in our lives because we got supernatural problems. And actually, you can't represent a supernatural God without supernatural manifestations. Jesus didn't. He didn't even try it. In fact, he didn't even let the disciples go out until they got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, you wait, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then you shall be witnesses not only to Jerusalem, but to Samaria and the other most parts of the earth. He wanted them to go out with that same power. He wanted them to be need meters. The church should be a need-meeting church. It ought to be a place where you can get help. It ought to be a place where you can get your marriage back together. Ought to be a place when you get back up on your feet, hallelujah, where the clouds of darkness can roll away and the sun can shine again. Ought to be a place where you can find hope and healing and help. That's what we have on our T-shirts at the food ministry. Shining Light Food Ministry, healing, help, and hope. Hope, help and healing, something like that. I may have the combination right, but it's those three words, hope, healing, and help, hallelujah. So he said this, and of course they held their peace because they knew the right answer was to heal and to give life on the Sabbath, because that's what God does. Fifth verse, and when he had looked around about them, on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Why was he angry? Because they were representing God, and they were not helping people. They were representing God, but they did not love people. Sometimes we're trying to be so holy and try to be so right with God that we don't mess with people. You know, we don't want, you know, it'd be easy serving God if it weren't for other people. I can tell you that. What's the number one problem in church? People. If we just get rid of people, church would be just fine. Well, the problem, there wouldn't be a church if you don't have people already out there. And you got to learn to love people and reach out to people. With, you know, hey, you need help. Amen? You got to learn to help others. You've messed up before, sometimes innocently, sometimes on purpose. But others have done it too. Be forgiving and go on. Amen? Okay, so he says this, looking at anger with anger on them, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He said unto them, to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and it was restored whole as the other. Y'all see the wording there. What did the miracle do? It restored and made whole the hand that was withered, just like the other one, which was normal, the way a hand should be. Now see, this is what miracles do. They fix things. Miracles are not weird. Well, that's so strange as people talk about healing. They talked about some cripple getting healed. They talked about somebody's blind eyes popping open or somebody having a stroke, you know, and then all of a sudden God restored them. That's just weird. What's so weird about that? That's just restoring. That's just making things normal again. If you want to know what's weird, if you want to know what is intrusive, it is the disease. Are you with me? That's what's intrusive. It's the broken bone. It's the car wreck. It's the house burnt down. That's what shocks us. That's what's abnormal. That's what comes in and disrupts normality. And when you get to heaven, there won't be any of that. When you get to heaven, there are no funeral homes and there are no hospitals. Nobody dies. Nobody ever gets sick. Former things have passed away. All things become new. Hallelujah. There'll be no more sighing, no crying. There'll be no more weeping. There'll be no more pain. No more red bugs, chiggers, or fire ants. There won't be anything that harms. There won't be anything that hurts because there's everything up there is normal. If you want to know what's weird, this world is weird. Things that go on in this life are weird. God comes down. The anointing on you will take the weird out of you. Do you know that? The anointing of God, the presence of God, will get rid of what's messed up about you.
Yes, that's right.
A miracle in your life, and a miracle in your character, a miracle in your personality will take all that weirdness out of you.
Wow.
Woo, that's good stuff, amen. So what he did, he just did a miracle, and all he did was restore and make right something that was wrong. And, of course, the Pharisees got upset about it. They always did. They're always upset about Jesus healing people on the Sabbath and making people right and fixing people because they're about the service. They were about the church. They were about not the people. You know, the first thing that's going to burn off when we get to heaven is International Outreach Church, that name. Do you know that? First Baptist, United Methodist, Church of Christ, Assembly of God. There's only one name that outshines them all, and the name's Jesus. Amen. We're meeting in local assemblies, and I understand that we have to have a name so y'all know where we meet and, you know, that we come here. But let's don't get the idea that we're it. Come on, there's a lot of other churches that make up the whole church and that are meeting all over, you know, a lot of different places. This is not it. It's tag, you're it. You're it. You, me, we're it. We're what Jesus is all about. And Jesus should be what we're all about. Amen? We should do everything we do in his name. He sure does everything he does in heaven in our name. In fact, he represents us in heaven. Amen?
Thank you, Lord. You
think about it. In fact, he every time you pray, he's the intermediate. He's the go-between. He's the one that goes to God and confesses you. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. That's what he says. I love that when someone gets saved and accepts Jesus, I like to turn them around, face the crowd, and say, now say this, Jesus is my Lord. I confess Jesus to the crowd. Now what's happening, and Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And so in that moment of time, when you really believe that in your heart and you say, I confess Jesus before you now, Jesus turns to the Father and says, I confess Eva before you right now. I am Eva's Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Eva says, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus says, I am Eva's Lord. I confess her right now in heaven.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. My name has been confessed in heaven on the lips of Jesus.
Amen.
Your name has been confessed in heaven.
Amen.
On the lips of Jesus. He represents you. He represents you. That's why we shouldn't have a problem representing him down here, because he represents us up there. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, if you have your Bibles, a couple verses real quick. I'm going to wrap this up so we can do this. Y'all get anything out of this? Okay. Miracles. What do? Well, they fit, for one thing. They restore. They make things right. That's what they do. We should pray for miracles. We should pray for healing. Any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Are you with me? So we have scriptural admonition to do that. Why? Because God doesn't want us sick. He wants us healed. He doesn't want us down. He wants us up. He doesn't want us in sin. He wants us serving God. He doesn't want us poor. He wants us to prosper. Stay with me. It's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to want to stay there. We ought to help the poor. That's why we have the food ministry, to help poor people so they don't die, they don't starve, and they don't give up hope and give up on God. But our goal really would be get them on their feet to where they don't need to come to the food bank.
Amen.
Are you out there? Okay, all right. Okay, miracles. Think about it this way. I'm just not going to have time to do this. If you're writing notes, you might write down Mark 16th chapter, you know, where it talks about that he that believes and baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. It says these signs shall follow them that believe, 17th verse. It says, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, if they drink any deadly things shall not hurt them, shall take up serpents. And it says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then it says the Lord, they went everywhere, the disciples went everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Everybody say confirming. Okay, all these miracles that were taking place that he listed in Mark 16, they confirmed the word with signs follow. We need miracles to confirm the word. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. If we prayed every week here and no one ever got healed, no one ever got saved, no one ever got their life back together, if it, nothing ever happened, well, I'd begin to wonder if there's any truth to all this. Not that I have to have it. I mean, if God said it, it's true. But since he did say it, it is true, and there will be proofs. God will also bear us witness with mighty signs and wonders, gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. And the Bible even says of Jesus, he was a man approved of God by signs and wonders which God did by him. Hallelujah. Miracles testify to the validity of the Scripture, the truth of the Scripture. Miracles confirm the Word. Miracles are proof to it. I mean, you can argue doctrine all day long when the man standing here blind, that was blind, now he sees. What in the world can you say about that? He said, I don't know whether that man was from God or not, but all I know, I was blind, now I see. And it says they could say nothing against it. Actually, the man with the testimony trumps the guy with the doctrine any day of the week. And I believe in doctrine, I believe in teaching. But the testimony, my testimony is a living, a proof and a living letter of what Jesus can do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I am a miracle. Yes. Woo! Yes. Amen. So we need them. Miracles fit. Yes. Miracles fix things, and miracles confirm God's word. Yes. Hallelujah.